Welcome to Reconquest on the Crusade Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie coming to you from St. Benedict Center in Richmond, New Hampshire. Our websites are Catholicism.org and Reconquest.net. My email address is ban@Catholicism.org if you'd like to shoot me a very brief email with a quick comment, suggestion, or question. Also, you can find me on social media. I'm on X, I'm on Facebook, and others. Just search for Brother Andre Marie on those platforms, and if I'm there, you should find me. This evening's episode is episode number 419, Only God's Dignity is Infinite. And in case you didn't guess it from the title, this is me talking about the recent declaration of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, dated April 4th of 2024, Dignitas Infinita, Infinite Dignity. It's a declaration on human dignity. Now, it's not a super long document, although it's long enough. In the present print form in which I have printed it out on 8.5 by 11 paper off the Vatican, it's actually the Vatican Press website. It's 28 pages, including all the footnotes and everything. So I read it, I took little notes on it, and scribbled it up and underlined and all that kind of thing that I do when I read a document like this. And I spent some time today also, besides finishing up my reading of the document, reading a couple of critiques on it, and pondering it a little bit. So it's hard to talk about a document this long, even though it's relatively short, in 55 minutes. But I kind of have to give a 30,000-foot view assessment, and I'm going to borrow heavily from especially the Catholic philosopher, Dr. Edward Fesser, who put out a piece on his own blog called Two Problems with Dignitas Infinita. This is a Catholic philosopher who's written a book on capital punishment, co-authored a book with a gentleman named Bessette, co-authored a book on capital punishment, defending the traditional teaching of the Church on capital punishment, contrary to Pope Francis's most recent statement. So naturally, in his critique, he focuses most on how the document, makes the most extreme anti-capital punishment statement that has ever been inserted to any magisterial text ever. It goes beyond the 2018 editing of the new catechism that Pope Francis did, which seemed to have a little bit of wiggle room in it anyway, but the condemnation of the capital punishment seems fairly absolute in the current document, this new DDF document. So let me just give you my initial impressions. I don't like to give hot takes, especially on a magisterial document. I think we live in a day when people give hot takes on things that they haven't even looked at yet. They give a hot take on a headline. They don't even bother to read the article about the longer document that they didn't bother to read. I try to be a little bit reserved and let my impressions cool off before talking about them. But this is the 30,000 view. First of all, there's no talk in the document at all about God's rights. And I think that's very important, or God's dignity. That's extremely important. God's dignity, God's rights, that should be the bedrock. There is an ordering to the two commandments of the gospel. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And as our Lord connected this, or this tradition connects this to the two tablets of the law, that the first commandment of the gospel to love God corresponds to commandments 1, 2, and 3 of the Mosaic law, or of the Decalogue, and that the love of neighbor, which is for the love of God, loving our neighbor as ourself for the love of God, that corresponds to commandments 4 to 10, the second tablet of the Decalogue. And there is an order there. There is even an ontological order, to use a word, there. There's an order of dependency. That second tablet is meaningless if we throw out the first tablet. The second commandment of the gospel, to love our neighbor as ourselves, is meaningless if you throw out the first commandment, to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, mind, strength, and will. So when you talk about man's rights and you divorce it from God's rights, or when you talk about man's dignity and you don't speak first of God's dignity, then I think you're setting yourself up for a tremendous problem. That's my first observation. Another observation is that a lot of the particular things that they talk about in the document as being affronts to human dignity, and it does actually address a lot of important issues, very existential issues, war, human trafficking, of course, abortion's mentioned. Birth control is not, though, which is sad. But there are all of these abuses or affronts against human dignity that are spoken of in the last part of the document, which are treated each fairly briefly. And all of those are things, many of them, not all, but many of them are things which, if the family were intact, if the family were defended in a very robust, vigorous way, and I'm not a huge fan of Pope John Paul II, but he set up the Pontifical Council on the Family specifically to do this, and it was Pope Francis who has dismantled it and put on – or not – yeah, I'm sorry, the Pontifical Council for Life, that particular council, Pope Francis has dismantled. Effectively dismantled it. He put in new leadership. He took out some of the old guard. And even though John Paul II was guided in philosophical personalism, which I think is a defective philosophy, it's not, the church's traditional philosophy on these matters. Even though he was guided by that, he said a lot of very good things about the family, about life, all of those issues that come from the family. And he understood that if you dismantle the family, of course you're going to have problems with abortion and all of these other problems. Even human trafficking. I mean, if everybody came from a stable, loving family, you wouldn't have so many of these problems. Human trafficking, I won't say it will be non-extant. I would imagine human trafficking of some sort has always existed. If you include slavery and the slave trade, kidnapping, smuggling, I mean, all this kind of thing has existed in some way or another. But if you're going to declare war on it in the name of human dignity, well, what you really need to do is say, let's restore the family. Let's protect the family. So there's one thing. There wasn't enough about the family and the need to emphasize and safeguard the hierarchical nature of the family, calling men to be the heads of the family. I mean, my goodness, there's going to be no talk about that with the current regime's embrace of feminism. Another missed opportunity, although the word creation was mentioned, there was in the document an actual reference to man being created by God, but there wasn't, and there were footnotes that referenced Genesis, but there wasn't any quoting, no explicit quotations from the book of Genesis about man's creation. And I don't know if this is because we don't want to be embarrassed by appearing to be creationists instead of going along with the zeitgeist on evolution or what. But that I think was definitely a missed opportunity, because if you're going to talk about man's actual dignity, you kind of have to give something of the context. You have to give something of a meta-narrative, right? What is man's origin? What is his destiny? Speaking of destiny, another massively missed opportunity, very little, if anything, about man's supernatural destiny, about the four last things, about eschatology, about the life of heaven, beatitudes, and how in this life, grace is to prepare us for that. In fact, there's no mention, that there's no actual distinction between nature and grace. There's very little that's said about man's supernatural destiny. It does talk about man's dignity as being created by God and redeemed by Christ, but it doesn't go on to talk about how the fruits of the redemption are applied to each man and how, when each man is elevated into the state of grace, his dignity is elevated beyond mere nature into something supernatural, so that he's actually then a child of God and an heir to the kingdom of heaven. Believe it or not, in a Vatican document on human dignity, there's no talk about that at all.